Patristic Nectar Publications is pleased to present A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace, Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe. These short meditations reveal the ancient wisdom of the Church Fathers and apply it to 21st century Christian living. And now, His Grace, Bishop Irenae.
The text entitled The Life of Moses by Our Father Among the Saints, Gregory of Nyssa. Saint Gregory is himself one of the more significant of the fathers of the early church, being born around the year 335, dying around the year 395. Saint Gregory was one of that notable triumvirate called the Cappadocian Fathers. The other two members of that group were his brother, Saint Basil of Caesarea, and their common friend, Saint Gregory, the theologian, Bishop of Nazianzus. Saint Gregory and Saint Basil were from a large family. Saint Gregory himself was the third son out of 10 children. Perhaps the most famous, apart from himself, were his brother, Saint Basil, and his elder sister, Saint Macrina, a woman much devoted to the spiritual life. Saint Gregory himself, though tonsured a reader in young age, seems to have desired to follow a secular career, following his father's path in becoming a rhetorician, a trained speaker and orator. But around the year 371 or 372, and largely at his brother Saint Basil's contrivance, Gregory was appointed bishop of the relatively small town of Nyssa. And from this point forward, his influence in the church would increase dramatically. And indeed, following his brother's death, Saint Gregory became one of the strongest voices promoting the doctrine of the church in the face of what is now often called the Neo-Arian crisis. In the year 381, at the Second Ecumenical Council held in Constantinople, our Saint Gregory played a decisive role, and his influence in the church continued to increase throughout his life until the early 390s, when his political role, his ecclesiastical role, started to decline, and in these latter 4 or 5 years of his life, largely under the long influence of his sister, Saint Gregory comes to dwell more on matters of the spiritual life, of things contemplative and spiritual, rather than dogmatic, that area which had so consumed the bulk of his life. And it is from this latter period, these last 4 or 5 years of his life, that our text comes, namely the life of Moses. This remarkable document is, as I said before, perhaps one of the more important texts to come out of the entire patristic corpus. It's divided roughly into two parts. In the first book, Saint Gregory explores what he calls the literal tradition of Moses, his life from his birth through to the Exodus and his death. This is, in many ways, simply a paraphrase of the story recounted in the biblical book of Exodus, with some elaboration, though there are some very important theological expansions in this first book. But it is in the second book that Saint Gregory comes to the real aim of his writing, a spiritual contemplation of the meaning of Moses' life, of the meaning of the Exodus, finding within the literal history, not apart from it, but in it, spiritual symbolism for the life lived in Christ. Taking the historical figure of the great patriarch and the notable event of the Exodus out of Egypt into the land of promise, Saint Gregory discovers the paradigm of our own spiritual ascent out of darkness into light, out of sin into redemption. And in this spiritual contemplation, he focuses on almost every significant moment in the life of Moses. Indeed, he focuses on many events and moments which might seem insignificant or of little spiritual value, finding in them icons for the life of repentance and change granted by Christ. And it is on precisely one of these details that I would like to dwell. I would like us to look today at the first few sections of Book 2, the opening segments of his contemplation of the spiritual meaning of Moses' life. Bear in mind that by this point in the text, he has already devoted an entire book to the historical circumstances of Moses' life, tracing his birth through his death. And now he returns to those opening moments, to the God-preserved birth of the one who would become God-seer. And he finds in Moses' birth, interestingly, a paradigm for our own spiritual behavior. Let me begin by reading section 1 of Book 2. St. Gregory writes, "Moses was born at the time Pharaoh issued the decree for male offspring to be destroyed. How shall we, as a matter of choice, imitate this fortuitous birth of Moses? Someone will rightly raise the objection that it simply does not lie within our power to imitate in our own birth that famous birth. But it is not hard to begin the imitation with this seeming difficulty." Now this is an interesting way for St. Gregory to begin. We are to imitate Moses' birth. And immediately he recognizes that some, and surely some amongst us today, would ask of this, how are we to imitate a birth? Surely birth is something that lies beyond our control. Birth is something for which we are not responsible. Our birth comes to us for reasons and motivations outside of our control. And yet, St. Gregory is convinced that even in this, there must be an example for our spiritual living. He carries on as follows. "Everyone knows that anything placed in a world of change never remains the same, but is always passing from one state to another, the alteration bringing about something better or worse. And so the narrative of Moses is to be understood for its real intention, for the material and passionate disposition to which human nature is carried when it falls is described as the female form of life, whose birth is favored by the tyrant. The austerity and intensity of virtue is symbolized in the male birth, which is hostile to the tyrant and suspected of insurrection against his rule." That is section 2 of Book 2. Now, the first thing we might say is the association of weak characteristics with the female sex and strong and virtuous characteristics with the male sex tends to rub some people today the wrong way. But let us be very clear that St. Gregory is here identifying images within the Exodus narrative. We will recall from that text that the tyrant, and by that title St. Gregory refers to the Egyptian pharaoh, has decreed that all male children are to be killed, whilst female children may remain alive. And so Gregory, following the standard paradigms of his day, identifies spiritual characteristics found within us all that are identified by these sexes. That which is virtuous and strong is a threat to the tyrant, a threat to Pharaoh, and so he orders this execution. That which is weak, which is moldable and pliable, is no threat, and so allowed to remain alive. But behind all this is St. Gregory's observation that the birth we are talking about, when we come to discuss our emulation of Moses' birth, is in fact not at all, obviously, our physical birth, over which we have no control, but is a birth that is involved with the continual changing, the coming into being of a new way of life at every moment. As St. Gregory says, our life is continually filled with change. And every moment, every change, is potentially a change from better or to worse, from good to evil, or from evil to good. How we change, how we are born in these moments that fill our days and our lives, is within our power. So Gregory has set up a paradigm by which birth refers to the way we live and the choices we make, and the types of choices are characterized by the types of children Pharaoh orders either to be killed or to remain alive. St. Gregory expands in the third section of the text. It is certainly required, he says, that what is subject to change be in a sense always coming to a point of birth. In mutable, changeable nature, nothing can be observed which is always the same. Being born, in the sense of constantly experiencing change, does not come about as the result of some external initiative, as is the case with the birth of our body, which takes place, as it were, by chance. Such a birth occurs rather by choice. We are, in some manner, our own parents, giving birth to ourselves by our own free choice, in accordance with whatever we wish to be, whether male or female, moulding ourselves to the teaching of either virtue or vice. Now this is a remarkable text. We are, in some sense, our own parents, St. Gregory says. By each moment, observing the changes that we are prone to undertake, and making a decision, shall I change to the good, or shall I change to the evil, we are controlling, to the degree that it is in our power, that which we become. That which I am now may become better in the next moment or worse, and that birth of a better person or a worse person, a virtuous person, or one more constrained by vice, that choice of birth is within my power. Which choice will I make? We go back to the first statement St. Gregory made, that we are to emulate the fortuitous birth of Moses, and now we start to see his meaning. In our spiritual life, Moses' fortuitous birth is a guide to the choices we ought to make at every moment. At every moment, I ought to be the kind of child born of my choices that would instill fear in the heart of Pharaoh, a child of virtue, a child of godliness, the kind of child that is fearful and a threat to the ungodly tyrant. And I ought to be wary lest by my choices I instead give birth in myself to the kind of weak child that is no threat to the ungodly tyrant, the kind of child at whom the enemy looks with a certain affection. There is nothing here for him to be worried about. This is the choice of my ongoing rebirth. St. Gregory continues, we can most certainly enter upon a better birth into the realm of light, however much the unwilling tyrant is distressed, and we can be seen with pleasure to be given life by the parents of this godly offspring, even though it is contrary to the design of the tyrant. This text is St. Gregory's reassertion that a better birth is possible. We are not held captive to the circumstances of our physical birth. In some sense, in the spiritual realm, this physical birth and its circumstances becomes insignificant. All of us, by the grace of Christ, have within our power, within the God-given freedom of our created nature, the power to, as St. Gregory calls it, be born into a better birth, into the realm of light, into the realm of godliness, however much the tyrant, the devil, may oppose this in us. And this leads St. Gregory, in the fifth section of Book Two, to sum up this line of his thought. He writes, when we lay bare the hidden meaning of the history of Moses, Scripture is seen to teach that the birth which distresses the tyrant is the beginning of the virtuous life. I am speaking of that kind of birth in which free will serves as the midwife, delivering the child amidst great pain. For no one causes grief to his antagonist unless he exhibits in himself those marks which give proof of his victory over the other. The spiritual insights of St. Gregory, to probe this historical moment of Moses' birth and to find within it the story of our own repentance, the story of our own coming to embrace the life of Christ and the life of virtue, is his gift to us in this remarkable text. And the life of Moses is filled with such profound observations. But I hope in these few moments it has become clear that hidden within the scriptures, within the stories of our history, of figures of our past, there is a story that is also the story of my heart, my life, and my repentance. We can and we must read Exodus as the documentary history of our people, of our father, of Moses and his engagement with the great Pharaoh. But we find in that very history the story of our life. We find in his birth, as St. Gregory so clearly shows us, an icon of the choices we must make at every moment. I can, in this moment, give birth to virtue or to vice. Which will it be? The tyrant leads us in one direction, and we are opposed in the spiritual life by an enemy, just as Moses was by Pharaoh. We are opposed by one who would lead us towards a life of fragility in our spiritual warfare, towards a life of laxity. And yet there is within us the power to give birth to a life of virtue and fortitude, a life of righteousness given to us by God.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe, offered to you by Patristic Nectar Publications, nourishing the spiritually thirsty with the sweet teachings of the Holy Fathers.